Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. At a meeting with public officials at UCSF, today's guest, Dr. David Smith, declared that healthcare is a right, not a privilege. That meeting was back in 1967. When Dr. Smith was in medical school, he was also in graduate school doing LSD research and working with methamphetamines. After graduating, he took LSD, had a cultural transformation, and started the Haight-Ashbury Free Clinic at 5558 Clayton Street. And then the summer of love hit, and the clinic was overwhelmed with patients. Dr. Smith said the Summer of Love did for him what it did for so many. It produced a major transformation in consciousness for helping others. He said, quote, "That was not at all the way I was prior to that," end quote. There are now more than 2,000 free clinics nationwide modeled after the Haight-Ashbury Free Clinic. Today, Dr. Smith's Health Right 360 Clinic treats over 40,000 low-income and homeless patients every year. So 50 years later, what will it take to ensure that healthcare is a right, not a privilege? Dr. David Smith is a medical doctor specializing in addiction medicine. He's pioneer of the free clinic movement and founder of the Haight-Ashbury Free Clinic. And Dr. David Smith joins us where he's on his phone on his way to the studio. Hi, Dr. Smith. Welcome to the show.
How are you?
Good. Thank you. Thanks for joining us. Dr. Smith, I want to start off by talking about what happened in Charlottesville, the tragedy there. I have been reading nonstop about all of the people who got hit by that car that intentionally hit them. And what strikes me is that so many of these young people have launched these GoFundMe pages to crowdsource to pay for their medical bills. Have you read about that? I'm wondering what you think about that 50 years after you stated that healthcare is a right, not a privilege.
Well, I think what they're doing is very encouraging. Obviously, if you look at the rise of totalitarianism, one of the first things they do is to demonize the outsider population. And then the next thing they do is to deny them healthcare. And the rise of Nazism in Germany, they, first of all, they put, the mentally disabled and then the homosexuals in basically sanitariums and concentration camps and basically killed them. And then they went over the next population. And finally, in the historians of that period, they basically say, first they came after the mentally disabled, and they came after the Jews, and they came after the communists, and then they came after me, and there was nobody there to stand by me. So I think the healthcare issue is not just a service issue, but it's also a political issue. And one of the key elements of it has been the rise of Trump care that would deny 22 million people health care, including a large number in this current opiate crisis, so that the young people using the social media, not only to help them get needed health care, but also as a political statement against the rise of totalitarianism, is a very positive thing. It gives me encouragement. I thought with the passage of Obamacare, we had this battle won, but now we've regress in the past, but the free clinic movement is still alive and well. We still believe that healthcare is a right, not a privilege, and we have many young people coming to our clinic and rock medicine that are living that spirit.
Dr. Smith, as someone who has advocated for healthcare as a right, not a privilege, for five decades, how do you think the system should treat people? For example, these young people who were hit by this car. Natalie Romero is just 20. She got hit by the car. She suffered a small skull fracture, multiple injuries to her face. She's a first-generation college student, and she just launched a GoFundMe page to raise money for her medical bills. And then we've got Marcus Martin. He's 26. He was actually there's a photo going around of people who were flying in the air after the crowd pummeled into them. He's the African-American man who's flying in the air, he has a GoFundMe page to pay for his medical costs. Dr. Smith, how do you think do you think the government should step in and say, when something like this happens, we have to ensure that these people are treated?
Well, of course, but it should be way before that. There are massive gaps in the safety net. If you have traumatic injury like this and you go to the ER, it will rack up thousands of dollars in medical bills. The United States is the only industrialized country where a person can go bankrupt because they get sick. And what happens with these students, particularly if they have this skimpy insurance policies that Trump would advocate, they end up with huge medical bills. And then piled on top of their student debt, they carry that forth. Mm. So the holes in the safety net should be filled to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
They should never have big medical bills for traumatic injuries that were never their fault to begin with.
Right.
So I think what's happening is, I mean, God bless the people that are supporting the GoFundMe. I'm happy they're doing it. I certainly would contribute, but we should not allow us to not recognize that there are massive holes in the safety net for these young people, and that this is the only industrializing country in the world where you would have to have GoFundMe page to pay for your medical bills. We just celebrated the 50th anniversary of our Haight-Ashbury Free Clinics. Mm-hmm. Lots of people from different countries came over here, interviewed me. They were all interested in the rock and roll, and they were interested and somewhat puzzled by the rise of the free clinic. Other free industrialized countries, you don't have to have a free clinic to take care of these medical problems. The system does.
Right.
So the part of the free clinic that they liked was the non-judgmental health care and our response to addiction. But, there was an article in the JMA that said the free clinics are still needed, which is good news, but it's also unfortunate. You really shouldn't need free clinics to take care of these large populations. And it turns out that the underserved and unserved populations are getting larger and larger, interestingly enough, in the red states,
right,
where the Trump supporters are.
I was thinking about Remote Area Medical, and this is a group that was started in the, I believe it was in the Amazon. I'm not sure which country, I'll look it up. But it was started by Stan Brock. And he wanted to ensure that people had access to health care, people who lived in very remote parts of the Amazon. And he got a call from Tennessee, and someone in Tennessee said, "We need you here." And he said, "What are you talking about?
Right.
This is the United States." And everywhere they go, whether it's Oakland or whether it's Tennessee, they have a line that starts the night before. People are camping to get mostly dental and vision.
Right.
But he said, throw a pin on a map in this country, and you would see a line that goes out the door.
That's true, and that's what's happening when they form these free clinics. They find all these underserved populations with medical problems. Many of these rural areas relative to the medical care in the United States are like third world countries. So they're using telemedicine, they're using volunteers. I know that I was just consulting on starting of a free clinic in Standing Rock for that Native American population. So the free clinic movement is a response to this healthcare crisis while the government figures out what it should do.
You wrote a lengthy piece for the North Bay Recovery Center, and you wrote about a conference back in 1970 where over 300 free clinic workers attended, and the proceedings were printed in the Free Clinic, A Community Approach to Healthcare and Drug Abuse. And you printed the first lines of the book's introduction, and it said, "The National Advisory Commission on Health Manpower stated in its 1967 report that the national healthcare apparatus is more mishmashed MASH, then system. It's a collection of bits and pieces characterized by overlapping, duplication, great gaps, high cost, wasted effort. So that was in 1967, but the booklet also noted that as far back as 1932, a national committee examining the high costs of medical care published a detailed and comprehensive report describing the ways that the healthcare delivery system has totally failed throughout America. This was in 1932. So, Dr. Smith, why do you think we haven't learned from these mistakes? Here we are in 2017.
Well, the political will is not there. I thought, and you've done a good health policy research, and I congratulate you, but I thought that healthcare policy and healthcare economists started to prevail under Obamacare. And remember, Obamacare was a compromise. Many of us in the progressive wing would like single payer, but that didn't look like it was politically able to get through, but Obamacare was really an extension of Romney Care in Massachusetts. And it started out as a bipartisan effort to fix the healthcare system, which is necessary. But then it got demonized by President Trump and the right wing of the Republican Party, and they're trying to chop it apart and make it more of a mishmash. More of a mishmash. It was kind of like we're almost back to where we started, except now the advances of medical science are so great that people see that we can cure diseases that we couldn't cure before. And they're demanding this type of service. And then also there's a lot more protest when you take away health care. You know, it becomes abstract to get it, but once you take it away, look at all the protests. Mm-hmm. Against the repeal of Obamacare, when suddenly seniors and other people realize that they are going to go back to, if you have a pre-existing condition, you can't get care. What nonsense does that make? That's not good medicine.
Today we're speaking with Dr. David Smith. He's a medical doctor specializing in addiction medicine, and he is the pioneer of the free clinic movement. He started the Haight-Ashbury Free Clinic at 5558 Clayton Street back in 1967. And at that time, he declared that healthcare is a right, not a privilege. He was just 28 years old. Dr. Smith, 50 years later, you're getting all this media attention. People are writing about what you declared at UCSF. What goes through your mind when you think about where you were at that time? You were just 28 years old.
Well, at that time, this is not what I had planned to do. I was aimed towards academic and financial success. I happen to live in the Haight-Ashbury, and very much I'm a child of the 60s. I got caught up in the counterculture revolution, but I was not, a health policy researcher or in any stretch of the imagination an activist, but that period of time got many of us, including me, acquainted with injustice. And then it had to spark something in you. My grandparents were farm workers from Oklahoma, the Dust Bowl 30s. So I had that kind of like kernel of discrimination, which I had buried, and then it kind of activated. I think a lot of the people in that era went into it not wanting to have that activated, but the 60s activated. And it's always interesting to me because we have these gatherings, and people from that era says, oh, my parents were communists on the front line of the protest movement, and I've always raised to do this. I was raised to totally not do this. I was raised that's all in your past. You've got to evolve and move to a higher level. You have to have professional and financial success. Almost raised to be ashamed of my background. But the 60s really reactivated this justice. There's no question that, I had a spiritual experience with LSD that just, I've talked about it. Everything seemed connected. You can't, you know, letting one person die helps compromise the entire planet, just like Martin Luther King said. When injustice for one is injustice for all. That's one of the things that visions, spiritual visions, do is, and I think that Obamacare moves in the direction of a spiritual vision, and Trump care moves in the direction of an anti-spiritual division. Look at the rhetoric of the racist right and the neo-Nazis. That's as far away spiritual as you can get, and yet they claim that they're doing it on behalf of Christianity. There's nothing in Christianity that preaches this type of vision. In fact, Christianity preaches exactly the opposite. So the far right has corrupted and used as justification every positive philosophical position. Now, that's my view of the total world, but what I can do is manifest that in a healthcare vision and do whatever I can. Not only in what we're doing in San Francisco, but help other free clinics get started. A lot of what I'm doing now is training young people, encouraging young activists. So, for example, when we have our rock medicine, we have thousands of young medical volunteers come out. We always give them an orientation. And not only are they providing a service, but they're part of a 50-year movement. So it's called mission-driven healthcare. That's a lot of, at my age, at 78, that's a lot of what I want to do.
Dr. Smith, you have said in interviews that the Summer of Love did for you what it did for so many others, and it produced a major transformation in consciousness for helping others. And you said that was not at all the way that I was prior to that. Can you just talk a little bit more about the cultural transformation you had, and what was it that got you to say, I want to open this free clinic? Because at the time, I mean, according to the pieces I've read, the government really didn't help you. In fact, you went to the government, a city government, and said, you know, a lot of these young kids are coming to this city and they're experimenting with drugs and we're going to need to help them. And right. You didn't get much help. You just decided to do it on your own.
Well, it was beyond not help. There was active resistance on the part of government, and what was happening at the time, I lived in the Haight. All these young people came flocking to the Haight-Ashbury, you know, better living through chemistry, come to San Francisco with flowers in your hair. The psychedelic sound was developing in, you know, the panhandle of Golden Gate Park. All the musicians were around. It was, music was the draw. The Fillmore Auditorium had opened up. So it was a very exciting and turbulent time. There was the anti-war protest. There was civil rights protest. And so I saw that they'd started a Watts Clinic, the government-initiated war on poverty. And a friend of mine, Flo Stroud, worked for the health department. And I said, well, they ought to start what I call then a hippie clinic. So I went to the government, I went to the health department with this article about the Watts Clinic, because I figured that, you know, they would do that. It was called, UCSF is doing our archives, of all of our archival, and the original proposal that I wrote, that I hand wrote, is in the archives. In fact, it got translated into a paper, the first paper, the regionalized healthcare clinic in the Haight-Ashbury. So I just thought, well, that was a great idea, and the government go for it, and they said, no way, we're not going to do that for the hippies. We don't want them around. They use drugs. We don't like how they look. We don't like what they say. We don't like their music. We don't like how they smell. We don't like anything about them. And about that time, Terence Hallinan, this is all in the book Season of the Witch, Terence Hallinan had organized these protests. It was Mississippi Freedom Riders and Cole and Carl to go down for voter right registration. So I was finding out, I was learning more walking home from the UC Med Center at night than I was, you know, sometimes in the lab. And that's when I first learned about segregated health care, that you had one system for white people, one system for black people. That's when I started getting my taste for discrimination. But it wasn't really to the human being and all that consciousness elevation and my own psychedelic experience that broadened into this broader visionary philosophy, in which, in a fit of passion, in an untypical fashion, when the would-be administrator of our new clinic was yelling at the health department, Dr. LSD Sachs, for not doing more, that I stood up and said, healthcare is a right and a privilege. And so suddenly this awakened this passion, and I became a healthcare activist. And then what we found out was the city could block a clinic, but they couldn't block a private doctor's office. So the original Haight-Ashbury Free Clinic was David E. Smith and Associates doing business at the Haight-Ashbury Free Clinic. So there was a large group of volunteers, volunteer physicians, talk-down guides. It was one of the stranger group of associates you've ever seen, but it was declared a private doctor's office. And then Bill Graham comes, and because we were taking care of the concert goers, and he says, well, I'm going to do benefits and raise funds for it. Janis Joplin did Dr. Sunday's Medicine Show, Grateful Dead, Jefferson Airplane, and they said, but you have to have a nonprofit corporation. And I said, well, what's a nonprofit corporation? I mean, that's how much I knew. In other words, to receive donations, you have to have a nonprofit corporation. So then we formed a nonprofit corporation. So that's how it evolved. And then when these free clinics come to me now, I said, don't do it the way I do. Organize it the right way, right from the beginning. You know, get your nonprofit so you can get donations right from the beginning, so your volunteer doctors will feel comfortable coming down, get your malpractice insurance lined up. Because soon after I started the clinic, there was a big article by Dr. John Lutz, who began on to become a very prominent physician in San Francisco. It was in Look magazine. My malpractice insurance carrier read it and said, I didn't know you were treating those weirdos. He canceled my malpractice insurance.
Wow.
But San Francisco Medical Society came to my aid. In other words, I was very fortunate to be in a progressive city surrounded by progressive people. But you don't want to do it my way. You want to learn from our mistakes, learn from what we learned, get all those things lined up in advance so that when the inevitable criticism and attacks hit, then you're prepared for it. There was so many efforts to close us right in the beginning, and if it had closed us, they'd have closed up the lifeline of the whole National Free Clinic Movement.
Mm. Dr. David Smith is a medical doctor specializing in addiction medicine, and he founded the Haight-Ashbury Free Clinic back in 1967 at 558 Clayton Street. And then the summer of love hit immediately. The clinic was overwhelmed with patients. He said that this experience produced a major transformation in consciousness for helping others. There are now more than 2,000 free clinics nationwide modeled after the Haight-Ashbury Free Clinic. And we'll continue talking about what it will take to ensure that healthcare is a right, not a privilege, something Dr. David Smith declared back in 1967. This is Your Call. We'll be back after this.
Your call is better when you get involved. If you have a question, idea, or experience to contribute to today's conversation, call 866-798-8255. That number again is 866-798-8255. 888-798-8255, toll-free. You can also send an email to feedback@yourcallradio.org or leave a comment at the show's website, set a bookmark for yourcallradio.org, and you can also tweet us at yourcallradio.
This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow, we will talk about the political and economic turmoil in Venezuela. What is happening there exactly? We'll hope you can call in for that tomorrow. So many things are happening and changing very quickly there. And then on Thursday, a conversation with Ilette Waldman and Michael Chabon about Kingdom of Olives and Ash. It's a collection of essays by international writers bearing witness to the human costs of 50 years of the Israeli occupation of the West Bank and Gaza. Friday, it's our media roundtable. We will be discussing media coverage of the tragedies in Charlottesville and the far right movement. We'll give you an update on these groups coming to San Francisco and Berkeley in 2 weekends. And if you saw any stories that really stood out for you, we'd love to hear from you. You can send them to us at feedback@yourcallradio.org. Today, we're joined by Dr. David Smith. Back in 1967, he declared that healthcare is a right, not a privilege. He was in medical school and also in graduate school doing LSD research. After graduating, he took LSD, had a cultural transformation, and started the Haight-Ashbury Free Clinic. There are now more than 2,000 free clinics nationwide modeled after the Haight-Ashbury Free Clinic. And it's a non-judgmental clinic. Everyone is treated, no questions asked. Really an incredible model. And as Dr. Smith said, this is needed now more than ever. Dr. Smith, actually, I wanted to give out the phone number. I'm sure we have some people who'd like to chat with you. If you have any questions or comments for Dr. Smith, if there's a free clinic in your neighborhood, and also if you grew up in the Haight or in San Francisco and remember when the clinic started, if you went there, I'd love to hear some stories about it because, as he said, so many people got involved. George Harrison, Bill Graham, so many amazing bands got involved in this movement. So if you have any questions or comments or stories about that, the toll-free number is 866-798-8255. And if you're in the medical field today, if you're a doctor or a nurse, if you volunteer at a free clinic, we'd love to hear from you. Before the break, Dr. Smith, you were talking about how city officials wanted to shut this clinic down. They did not like homeless people. They were very open about it. And I wonder what you think about where we are today. According to official numbers, and of course, homeless advocates say the number's much higher, but official numbers say there are 7,000 homeless people on the streets of San Francisco. And the homeless outreach team treats about 1,000 people annually. 75% are addicted to heroin. And the number of heroin users seeking treatment is on the rise. Over the last 3 years, it's gone up about 15%. And then if you look at the city's database that tracks people who have some kind of mental illness, it's about 5,300 of the 7,000. I mean, these are very large numbers. What are your thoughts about this? These numbers are what we're dealing with today.
Right. That's very accurate. You've done your research. The problem is much worse, but San Francisco has very progressive leadership now. And I was honored on the 50th anniversary of our Haight-Ashbury Free Clinics in the Haight-Ashbury, and we had the unveiling of our Dove at Haight and Cole, and Sunshine Powers did that big celebration for us at Love on Haight. All the leaders of San Francisco were there, the mayor, the London Breed, our supervisor. I got so many plaques and honors, I was exhausted. I had to take a nap after. So it is so different now. In other words, the Haight-Ashbury Free Clinic and the Free Clinic movement, the city of San Francisco is proud of it. We're encoded into the DNA. HealthRight 360, headed by Vika Eisen, is opening its five-story building. And the opening ceremony is on August 29th. I hope your audience will attend. That's the major service provider to the homeless population. So things have changed dramatically in San Francisco, and we're happy that we had a part in that change. But the problem we're dealing with is much worse. A recent study at UCSF, which you quoted, it's estimated that there's about 22,500 IV drug users in San Francisco.
Wow.
And of that 7,000 homeless IV drug users, 70% are hepatitis C positive. Therefore, the healthcare costs of untreated addiction will be enormous into our medical system. So San Francisco needs to mobilize its healthcare response. And then there is estimates and evaluation is what's causing it. What's causing the problem now is not lack of healthcare. We're part of the solution, not part of the problem. And I mentioned that because, again, 50 years ago, they said, well, the free clinic is causing the problem because that's why the young people come here. I mean, it had that nonsense. You know, I was called a communist. I was calling causing the drug problem. You don't become addicted because there's health care. There's health care because you become addicted. Well, now we recognize that we are part of the solution, not part of the problem, but the sociologists are saying it is the economic dislocation, income inequality, lack of housing. There's much broader social causation of this problem. The closing of the state mental hospitals, now the mentally ill and substance abusers are disenfranchised and on the street. So there's very broad sociological causation and dislocation in the system, and that's going to require the political leadership. You know, we've got some very progressive political leadership in the city of San Francisco, but remember, this, what's happening in San Francisco is a symptom. These people that we treat, they don't arise from the streets of San Francisco. They come from some other place, coming to San Francisco looking for a better life, and they don't get a better life. So we have a very progressive healthcare delivery system, but you have to look at much broader solutions to these issues. And of course, what happens with all outsiders is the population is being demonized. That's the first thing you do, is demonize an outsider population, blame them for your ills, deny them health care, hoping they'll die or go away. And it is that broader philosophy is what we experienced in the 60s. But that's not what's happening in San Francisco now. And when I teach the young people, I say, develop your principles, develop your core values, make sure you believe that healthcare is a right, not a privilege. And if you believe that, that applies not just to some hippie having a bad trip at a rock concert, but it applies to a homeless, HIV positive, hepatitis C positive, mentally ill substance abuser laying on the street covered with needle abscesses. Now, you want to change their life, deal with their chronic disease, but you don't deny them health care because you don't like them.
As you know, Dr. Smith, the city of San Francisco is currently debating really whether or not to set up safe spaces where people can inject safely. And they're modeling it on safe spaces in Vancouver. And we're going to be doing a show about that next Tuesday.
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to be doing a show about that next Tuesday. Today we're speaking with Dr. David Smith. He's a medical doctor specializing in addiction medicine, and he founded the Haight-Ashbury Free Clinic at 558 Clayton Street back in 1967. And at the time, he said, healthcare is a right, not a privilege. And you can join us at 866-798-8255. If you have any questions or comments or want to add something to the conversation, if there's a free clinic in your neighborhood, if you've ever used a free clinic, if you remember the opening of the Haight-Ashbury Free Clinic, or you went there for treatment, we'd love to hear your story. You can also email feedback@yourcallradio.org or tweet us at yourcallradio. Let's hear from Judy in San Francisco. Hi, Judy. Welcome to the show.
Can you hear me?
Hi. Yes. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. First, thank you so much for all these comments. And the last thing that I heard was just an eye-opener. I would like to talk about Senate Bill S. It's called SB 562, which is the single payer bill, which would realize Dr. Smith's dream finally in California. And it was a reaction to the Trump attacks on the Affordable Care Act, which is a very light version of single. You know, it's not single payer. It's a light version of universal health care. It doesn't get there. 562 would, and it stalled in the assembly. And I urge everybody to pressure Anthony Rendon to take it out of committee and let it move through the assembly to be improved. And I'd like to say that one of the improvements that it needs is upgrades for public facilities and facilities like the Haight-Ashbury Free Clinic, so that they will be competitive with private institutions, precisely because they treat people and conditions that the private ones will not. The kinds of things that Dr. Smith was just talking about.
Well, thank you for calling, Dr. Smith. Your comments.
Well, at the 50th anniversary of our Haight-Ashbury Free Clinic, I think one of the sponsors of that bill came out of San Francisco. It's one of the reasons I'm proud to be part of the Progressive Healthcare Wing of San Francisco. And I believe that ultimately the decision to all the mishmash has got to be single payer. And I agree with everything the caller said, so that we can eliminate or at least reduce inequality in the healthcare system. Whether there is the political will to do it, we will see. It is interesting that the progressive wing has been activated by what's happening, you know, with Trump Care. And again, Obamacare is an intermediate compromise. For us, the key thing is that it contained a universal mandate component, which is the same as healthcare as a right, not a privilege. Now, it's not perfect, but it contained that component. And interestingly enough, Trump's biggest criticism of it is elimination of the universal mandate. So I still believe the battleground is healthcare a right, not a privilege. Mm-hmm. And then we battle on the details. You know, we would like the best quality health care, but the battleground politically is around universal mandate versus, which is the same as health care is a right, not a privilege, versus the forces that want to eliminate that.
Dr. Smith, since you've been an advocate for 5 decades, I just want to ask you quickly, what is your vision of healthcare being a right, not a privilege, in a state like California? There's been a lot of controversy over SB 562. We did a show about single payer in California a couple of weeks ago, and a journalist, David Diane, who lives here, says that SB 562 is really a shell bill, and it cannot become law without a ballot measure approved by voters. For legislative reasons, he says there's just no way you can do this in Sacramento. You've got to take it to the voters. So there's the politics behind it. But when you think about single payer in California, how do you envision it becoming a reality?
Well, a certain level, that's above my pay grade. In other words, all I know is there will be a political conflict in order to realize what should be done. All I can say is what should be done to get out of this mishmash of how do we get these incredible and medical advances we've made in medicine to all the people, not just the wealthy, and how do we get it to a reasonable cost to the middle class? Remember, single payer would benefit all classes. Now, I happen to be a beneficiary then at 78, and I'm on Medicare. I love my Medicare. But there is going to be a, you talked about our comments at the National Free Clinic Council. Franklin Delano Roosevelt advocated something like this in the 30s when he got through Social Security. It has always been whether the political will to do it in the United States is there. Now, I am not a politician. All I can tell you is what needs to be done to get out of this mishmash that we're in now, and that other countries have been able to do it.
Right. We have a question for you, Dr. Smith, from Joe, who says, isn't the core problem with health care delivery in this country the private health insurance funding model? And Dr. Smith, we did a show a couple of weeks ago right after the Republicans pushed to not only repeal the ACA, but drastically cut Medicaid. After that died, we did a show about the massive profits that we're seeing from the health insurance companies, the CEO pay. They're all at all-time highs. While at the same time, we just got word that Anthem Blue Cross is going to pull out of most of Covered California. So if you have Anthem Blue Cross, you're going to have to find new health insurance. A lot of people are concerned about this. We also just got word that the health insurance companies that do business in California say because of all of the uncertainty, premiums will most likely rise by 17% next year.
Well, again, you've done your health policy research, and part of that is because Trump wants to repeal the subsidies. You pull out the subsidies, it creates instability in the healthcare market, and therefore the insurance companies, you know, are risk averse, and they will raise their premiums. And then he says he's doing it because he wants Obamacare to collapse. And then he makes it collapse and then says, see, it collapsed. I think the caller is right. If you had single payer, 30% of the health care costs are the administration of insurance. If you knocked out a single payer, you knocked out that 30% for health care insurance administration, then you would eliminate that type of thing. Now, obviously, there would still be, you know, like Social Security is a form of insurance. There would still need the necessity of some sort of insurance regulation to make sure that there's no fraud or, you know, it's being done properly. But you quoted the Anthem example, which is a perfect example of what's happening. Mm-hmm. Because of the uncertainty, Anthem pulled out of California at the same time that Anthem made, I think, $810 million, and their stock went up 10%, and their CEO made, well over $10,000 a year. Maybe it was even closer to $1 million a year. I cut the article out, but I can't.
You must exactly mean. Are you? Do you mean $10 million a year?
Well, his salary was very high.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think $10 million a year.
Yeah.
And the company made a profit of $810 million. That's my recollection of the figures. You're a good researcher. You can go back to that. That's the article that I read.
Actually, I just found that Anthem CEO pay $17 million a year.
Right. So I was on the short side. I'm $10 million. He's actually $17 million. Mm. And the company made huge profit. And remember, his salary is geared to how much profit the company makes. Mm. So he pulls out of the market in order to make more money so he can get a higher salary, and people suffer. That is not a value system that I hope the new generation of healthcare workers endorse. And in fact, a lot of the young health professionals that come to us say, I am sick of this system. I'm sick of a profit-driven, insurance-driven system that sacrifices people for money. And I think ultimately, single payer would eliminate a great deal of this. Mm-hmm. Now, I think the individual that is far more sophisticated about the political process than I would be right that it would require very broad ballot measure, political will, and there's a possibility in California that we are the loyal opposition, we're the anti-Trump state, and there's a possibility we could get that through. I don't know. All I know is when you ask me those questions, what should happen, that is what should happen. Whether it will happen or not, if you'd asked me that question 2 years ago, I would have said, yeah, I think it'll happen. But that was before President Trump was elected and attacked all this progress we've made over the last 50 years or the last few years. So, you know, we will see.
Well, in case any of you do have Anthem Blue Cross of California insurance, again, in 2018, Anthem says it's going to phase out coverage for most of you. This is going to push about 153,000 people to look for other options. And we'll put a link about that at yourcallradio.org. And then also, again, the health insurance companies that do business in California have said that because of uncertainty, they're going to raise premiums by about 17% next year. So that's just really important information for everyone to know and share with friends and family. We've got time for one more caller. Let's go to Pamela in Berkeley. Hi, Pamela. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Rose. I just want to say briefly, I used to go back and forth to India quite a bit, and I would get worms, amoebas, jarchia, every kind of parasite every time I came back. And the only people that ever found it, either in India or in the States, and I went to many different doctors and hospitals and so on, was the Berkeley Free Clinic.
Right.
they used the Berkeley Public Health Service to laboratory to find them, which unfortunately they don't have access to anymore. And secondly, I'd like to say that I graduated from nursing school when Patch Adams graduated from medical school, and I worked with him in a mash tent at the Rainbow Gathering up in Washington State. And I pretty much was convinced from that experience to just leave the hospital at work entirely.
Wow.
And I became an acupuncturist.
love acupuncture.
Thank you, Judy.
The hospital system and the inhumanity of, and oddly enough, Anthem Blue Cross is now soliciting me to join them as with a supplemental Medicare insurance policy, which I think is weird if they're pulling out in a year.
Yeah, wow. Well, thank you, Judy. So glad you had a great experience at the Berkeley Free Clinic. Dr. Smith?
Yes. She mentioned the Berkeley Free Clinic. I was just over there in 1968 when I was teaching at UC Berkeley. One of my students took our charter of the Haight-Ashbury Free Clinic over. And the Berkeley Free Clinic used the Haight-Ashbury Free Clinic's charter to get it started, and it was that one of the earliest part of that beginnings of the Free Clinic movement. And I was just over there with the leadership of the Berkeley Free Clinic, and they are a need to look for a new building. They've got a great clinic, a big dental program. What I hope will happen is the fine service they've provided can translate into community support. Apparently, the building they've used, the church, is being torn down, and now they're going to get into that same issue we got into San Francisco, is how do these free clinics in this gentrifying environment find a space. So I just wanted to use that as a plug to support the Berkeley Free Clinic.
All right. Well, thank you again, Pamela. Dr. Smith, we have just a couple of minutes left, and I wonder, since you started the clinic back in 1967 and declared that healthcare is a right, not a privilege, looking back over the last five decades, what are some of the more memorable moments that you've had?
Well, the most memorable, of course, are in the beginning. You know, it's kind of like 1967 is alive and well in my head, and I looked at all the nostalgia and the music and all the people coming in and our volunteers taking care of them and the bad trips and the sexually transmitted diseases. Remember, we can't just look at the summer of life through rose-colored glasses. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of bad trips, a lot of sexually transmitted diseases. But then Janis Joplin, Dr. Sunday's Medicine Show, the musicians were part of the neighborhood. I mean, the Grateful Dead lived two blocks from where my house is. So they were part of the community. Some of the famous signs, if you come to the Haight on Haight and Cole, you'll see the picture of the Grateful Dead on their flatbed truck on Haight and Cole, and you can see the picture, the our clinic's building right in the background. So it was a very vibrant time. I'm being interviewed a lot on where Free came from. Peter Coyote had the Diggers, and they declared it a free city. And they had volunteer doctors come down, but they couldn't treat stuff on the sidewalk. So we took Free, the philosophy of Free, and incorporated it into the Haight-Ashbury Free Medical Clinic. He talked about that, about how I organized it. But the term came from the Diggers, Free. I just took it and put Free Medical Clinic. I mentioned that because in all these recent interviews, they've said, well, hasn't there always been charity clinics? We have 10 principles of a free clinic. One of them is free at the point of delivery of care. That people shouldn't be denied care because they can't afford it. But there's 9 other principles. So free and charity are not the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's non-judgmental health care, and all the free clinics abide by those principles of non-judgmental health care. So this period of time has given us reflection on what health care should be like and how all people should have access to it. It's been a very interesting time. I hope it will help energize the health care progressive wing of the reform movement.
Dr. David Smith is a medical doctor specializing in addiction medicine, and he founded the Haight-Ashbury Free Clinic back in 1967 when he declared healthcare is a right, not a privilege. Dr. Smith, thank you for all the work that you've done. Thank you for joining us. And next time, you'll definitely have to come to the studio.
Okay. Thank you. And thank you for this well-researched interview.
Thank you so much. Coming up tomorrow, we will talk about the current situation in Venezuela, the political and the economic turmoil there. Your Call is produced here at KALW in San Francisco. To listen to past shows or sign up for our podcast, visit yourcallradio.org. Thanks to Sana Salim for producing today's show and Kevin Vance, who's our studio engineer. I'm Rose Aguilar. Thanks for joining us. It's Your Call.